Good evening. We'd also like to extend a warm welcome to everyone who can be in this room this evening. It is a wonderful privilege to be able to share the gospel with you. So thank you for being here this evening. We're thrilled that you're here. Tonight can be a life-changing night for you. Some hymn sheets were passed around. They look like this. And we're going to begin by singing one of my favorite songs. It's on the back. It's number 40. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong. They are weak, but He is strong. The chorus reads, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Let's sing it together. Jesus loves me. To sing one more song for the younger ones who are here. Number 43. One door, and only one, and yet its sides are two. Inside and outside, on which side are you? Number 43. One door and only one,
and yet inside are two.
Before we pray, we're going to read one verse to get us started. The verses that we'll be reading come from the Holy Bible. This one comes from the book of John. John is in the New Testament. John chapter 3. And we're going to read verse 16. You're welcome to put your finger on the verse as we read it. It says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Let's close our eyes. We'll bow our heads. We'll pray. And ask the Lord's help. We thank Thee, Lord Jesus, that this evening we can come together. We can open up the Holy Scriptures. We can read from Thy Word and read the true account of how Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. We pray tonight that if there's one who is burdened with their sin, there is one who has an emptiness, a void that needs to be filled. That if there's one who knows they're on the wrong road, the road leading to hell, we pray that tonight they would have listening ears. Tonight they would see Your love for them. And tonight they would accept Your free offer of salvation. We ask this in the name and in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Again, thank you all for coming here tonight. It's a wonderful privilege to be able to share the gospel with you. For those who have been here all day during the Bible conference, for those who joined us this afternoon, and for those who are joining us this evening, we welcome you. Thank you. Thank you for coming. We know that you have choices. We know that you have options. We know that there are other things to do on a Saturday evening. We appreciate you being here this evening. Tonight's message is wonderful. And it's life-changing. For those who are listening to this podcast, for those who are listening to this recording on the internet around the world, we send greetings from St. Thomas, Ontario. It's good to have you joining in as well. So thank you, everyone, and thank you for being here. And thank you for listening. We're going to be pulling the scriptures from this book. It's the Holy Bible. It's not a textbook. It's God's Word. It's written by men and women who lived many years ago, who lived in different parts of the world, written by ones who didn't even always know each other. But every word of God is true, and it's a very holy book to us. And we're going to begin by reading a reference in the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 3. And we're going to read verse 16. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." So as we begin tonight's message, we're going to be reading from the Bible. It's full of good history, and it's very important history, but it's more than that. It's God's Word. From the very first verse in the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, all the way to the very last book in the Bible, the very last chapter, the very last verse. It is God's Word. It's not my opinion. It's not the opinion of those here in this room. It's not the opinion of Christians. It's God's Word. And all of it is true. God's Word is true. Thy word is truth. Another thing I want to begin is bring out at the very beginning is that there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Let's turn to that verse. It's in the book of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 2, we'll start with verse 1. Again, please follow along. It's not what I say, it's what God says. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. And this is the heart of God tonight. God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. So when I make reference to God and Jesus is God, we're referring to one God. Sometimes people think that Christians believe in more than one God. We believe in one God, and Jesus is God. One God. And the last thing before we get started, which I made reference to at the very beginning, is that God is love. God cares about you. Cares about you more than you know. Perhaps you've never thought of it that way. That the God of this world, the God of this universe, who created you and who created me, loves you passionately, loves you and longs to forgive you of your sins. The message that we have tonight, which is true, is life-changing. It is wonderful. God is love. And tonight I'm going to follow a very simple outline. I'm going to talk about the birth of Jesus from the Scriptures. We're going to talk about his death. We're going to talk about his resurrection and mention his soon return. That is the gospel message. Now, as I mentioned, the Bible was written by many different ones, men, women, ones who lived in different time periods, who lived in different continents. Some knew each other, some didn't know each other. But in the very beginning, God created this world, so no one is here by accident. No one is here by chance. You have a creator, I have a creator, and our creator is God. He created Adam and he created Eve, and from there, life has continued on all the way to 2017 right here in St. Thomas, Ontario. And in the Old Testament, the Bible is broken down into two parts, the Old Testament and the New Testament. Different ones prophesied that there would be one who would be born. And this one who they prophesied would be Jesus. Think of that. Years before he was born, it was prophesied that Jesus would be born. Not only was it prophesied that he would be born, but it was also prophesied hundreds of years before he was born where he would be born. Not in Toronto, not in Montreal, but in Bethlehem. That prophecy was fulfilled. It was prophesied that his mother, he would become from a virgin. That prophecy was fulfilled. So as we read the Bible, it's not just historical facts and figures. Many prophecies have come true, and those that haven't come true will come true. God's word is alive. It's quick and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And the birth of Jesus Christ, it really happened. Please turn with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 1. It takes me a little while to get there too sometimes. So I'm reading in Matthew chapter 1, kind of towards the end of the chapter. I'm going to start with verse 21. I'd like you to follow along if you have a Bible. And it says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is being interpreted, "God with us." Then Joseph, being raised from the sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now, why was Jesus born? Why is it so important that we have before us tonight Jesus? We don't have before us a bunch of rules and regulations that we're going to try to follow and try to become holy that way. That's not going to help us. We have before us tonight a person, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God manifest in flesh. And tonight we're going to be speaking about Him, because He is the way, the truth, and the life. And He is the one who can forgive you of your sins tonight. Down through the years, going all the way back to Adam and Eve, not a single person, including Adam and Eve, down through the years, lived a perfect life. And God is holy, and God is perfect, and God desires to have a relationship with His creature, you and I, to be able to enjoy fellowship together, to be able to enjoy company together. But because of sin, we have been separated from God. Our sins have separated us from God. And the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That includes me. I'm not perfect. Nobody in this room is perfect. We're not even going to try to pretend that we're good, because it wouldn't work. God sees right through. He knows the thoughts. He knows the intents of the heart. He knows our life from before we were born until it ends. And He sees the sins in our lives. And God can't allow sin into heaven. Sin is awful. Sin is terrible. Sin is like that dirty diaper that stinks, and you want to get rid of it. You want to get it out of the kitchen as fast as you can. You want to isolate it. You want to remove it. Sometimes you go to people's houses and they ask you to take off their shoes because they don't want to have dirt come into the house. God can't allow sin into heaven. And it is a big and serious problem. And so that is why Jesus came. Jesus didn't come to help the United States and help Canada and other countries solve their problems. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He was thinking of you when He came. And so He came into this world, and He lived here in this world for 33 years, always doing the will of His Father. He could not sin. He did not sin. He knew no sin. He went around helping people, healing people. He also went about speaking truth, changing lives, bringing forth truth. He was God, manifest in flesh. But where we're going to pick up the story now is that this world, the ones who were living at that time, and if we were living back then, our hearts would have been just the same. We didn't want Jesus. The cry was, "Away with Him. We will not have this man to reign over us." Man wanted to do his own thing. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. We did not want Jesus. And we're going to reference briefly what happened to Jesus. And this is why it's significant, because Jesus came into this world to go to a place called Calvary's Cross, and as a substitute, take the punishment that you and I deserve. That's why Jesus came. He was crucified, but He came to die and to be punished for the sins that you and that I had committed. Turn with me, please, to Matthew chapter 27. So the scene now that we're going to be looking at is Jesus on the cross, and there's going to be a cross on his right hand and there's going to be a cross on the left hand side. And Jesus is on the cross. The two thieves are on the cross as well. So picture the scene. In the middle, there's a man, Jesus, who did not sin, could not sin, knew no sin. And on the right hand and on the left hand were men who were guilty and who deserved to die. But the one in the middle, he did not deserve to die. Picking it up in Matthew chapter 27, it says, verse 38, "Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him." Come on. Do you think they really would have believed him if he came down from the cross? No. But he knew what lay ahead. While he was there, he knew what lay ahead. And even though they were mocking him, even though they were taunting him, even though they were saying, "Come down from the cross," did he come down? No, he didn't. I'm reminded of the verse in Nehemiah, I believe prophetic Nehemiah chapter 6. He could say, "I am doing a great work. I cannot come down." Jesus was about to be punished for the sins that you and I had committed. And there he was on the cross. He had already had the crown of thorns put on him. He had already been spit at. He had already been buffeted. And there he was. People saying, "Come down. If you are the Son of God, come down." But he didn't come down because he had important work to do. I say that reverently. He was thinking of you tonight. He was thinking of me. And he knew that our greatest need is forgiveness of our sins. Verse 45. "Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" There on the cross for 3 hours, God punished the Lord Jesus, the one who did no sin, the one who knew no sin, the one who could not sin. He bore the punishment that you and I deserve. You and I, we deserve to go to the lake of fire. We deserve to go to hell for our sins. That's the only fair outcome. But Jesus, in love, went to the cross and died as a substitute for you and I, taking on the punishment that we deserve if we will repent and put our faith and trust in him. Some of the younger ones in this room, you know what a substitute is. I teach school, elementary and middle school, and some days if I'm not there, there's a substitute teacher. Nowadays we use sometimes the word guest teacher, but there's somebody who's covering for me so that the classroom has an adult in there. There would be chaos if there wasn't. There's someone in there as a substitute. And we deserve to be punished for our sins. Jesus went to the cross as a substitute for us. Punish me instead. I will go. I will die. I will bear the punishment so that you can be set free. Would you turn with me to the book of John, please? So there is Jesus on the cross. He's been punished for the sins that he didn't commit, punished so that you and I could have forgiveness of sins. John chapter 19, verse 20. Sorry. John chapter 19, verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled the sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, These are life-changing words. For the Christians in this world, those who know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, these words that he said on the cross are full of meaning, full of importance, because at this point, he could say, It is finished. The work that he had done, the death that he was about to die, the punishment that he had taken on Calvary's cross, the work was done. And he could say, It is finished. And the good news that we can proclaim here in St. Thomas and around the world is that you do not and cannot work your way to heaven. The work has already been done. Jesus has paid the price in full. And tonight he offers you salvation. Tonight he offers you salvation. And listen to this. This is so good. Verse 32. I say it reverently, but let's just... I'm going to get to it. It's going to be verse 34. Jesus had finished the work on the cross. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers, with a spear, pierced his side. And forthwith came there out blood and water. In the Old Testament it says, without shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. In the Old Testament it says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And there at Calvary's cross, Jesus on the cross, the work was done. Boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, the precious blood began to flow. And it is the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, that cleanseth us from all sin. It is the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, that cleanseth us from all sin. So the sins that we have, the good news that we can share with you, and the gospel is good news, is that the precious blood of Jesus has been shed. And those sins that you have, they can be forgiven tonight because the blood was shed, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Let's turn to that verse in 1 John just so you can see it's true. Oh, it's so good. 1 John chapter 1. Is it okay if I go a few more minutes? 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. Brings tears to my eyes. 1 John chapter 1 verse 7. The end of the verse. The blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. And it is the blood that can cleanse... Sorry. It is the blood that can cleanse us from our sins tonight. And Peter could say, Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you, Jesus, that is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. How marvelous. But the story doesn't end there. Turn back to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. I'm going to kind of paraphrase it at this point. Jesus had borne the punishment. His precious blood had been shed. His body was taken down off the cross. A wealthy man named Joseph helped to make this a reality. And his body was placed in a tomb. And a great big stone was put in front of the tomb. And it was sealed shut. And guards were stationed around that tomb. We can read it real quick. Matthew chapter 27, verse 64. Command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples came by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, He is risen from the dead, so the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, Ye have a watch, go your way, make it as sure as you can. So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. So there Jesus was buried, a big stone was put in front of it. It was sealed and it was guarded. Now, as I talk about Jesus tonight, this is one of the most exciting parts of the gospel message, this next part. This is what separates Christianity from a lot of other religions. Jesus, and Christianity is not a religion, by the way, either, but Jesus was placed in that tomb. And tonight we're not following the teachings of a dead man, because that's not the end of the story. He was put into that tomb. But my friend, the good news is, 3 days later, Jesus rose from the dead. Tonight, we can tell you, Matthew chapter 28, verse 6. Matthew chapter 28, verse 5. That there was a great earthquake. The stone was rolled back. Ones were allowed to look into the tomb. They didn't see the body of Jesus because there was no body in there. No body, as in no body. There was no body in there. The tomb was empty. As the songwriter could say, up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. Tonight, the good news is, Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. He is not dead. He was dead, but he is not dead tonight. The good news is Jesus is alive. Verse 6, verse 5. I know that ye seek Jesus which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay. Tonight, the good news, the glorious news is that Jesus is not dead. He is alive. And he was on earth, and eventually he returned to heaven where he is tonight. And so as we talk to you about the Lord Jesus, we're not talking about a dead man. We're talking about one who loved you, who came into this world, who went to Calvary's cross and died so that you could have your sins forgiven, bore the punishment that you deserve to be punished with, was buried, put in the tomb, and rose again, and he is in the glory now. And soon, he is coming to take us home. So tonight, as we wrap this up, again, thank you for listening. Thank you for being respectful to the gospel message. Thank you for being respectful to the scriptures. There's about 400, maybe 500 in this room. If you could just do me a favor right now, I need you to listen very, very carefully here. I don't know your background, but I do know that God loves you and he cares about you. And tonight, he would like to save you. Tonight, he would like to forgive you of your sins. Tonight, he would like to set you free. That burden of sin that you have, it's kind of like a beach ball. You kind of just try to suppress it and say, I hope it goes away, but it doesn't go away. It just keeps popping up. It keeps coming back. It's not going to go away. Tonight, Jesus is the one who can forgive you of your sins. You say, tonight, I have a void in my heart. I've been trying to satisfy myself by the things that this world offers. I've been pouring myself into education. I've been pouring myself into stocks and bonds. I've been pouring myself into real estate. I've been trying to read the different philosophers. I've been trying to fill that void. But tonight, I'll be real with you, it's not filled. Tonight, Jesus can fill that void. Maybe tonight you're sitting here with the realization that if I were to die tonight, I would end up in the lake of fire. tonight that your course, your trajectory of your life can be changed by Jesus Christ. And so tonight, as we get ready to close, I want to invite you to accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior. I want to invite you to say yes to the one who loved you and the one who gave his life for you. What that looks like, just right where you're sitting. It doesn't even have to, you don't even have to get out of your seat. Come to the realization right where you're sitting that you can say in your heart, yes, I believe that what I've heard tonight is true. I believe that God's word is true and that I am a sinner. I also believe that Jesus gave his life for me on Calvary's cross, that his precious blood was shed for me, and that if I repent and put my faith and trust in him, I will be saved. And if you do that tonight, you will. Right where you're sitting right now, you can just bow your head. You can pray from your heart. It's not a formula. Just in your heart, you can say right now, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I believe you died for me. Please come into my heart. Please wash my sins away. And he'll do that. We love you. God loves you. Lord willing, we'll be here again tomorrow. Unless the Lord comes tonight, we invite you to come back. We invite you to come to Sunday school. If you have questions about what has been said tonight, you have questions about what you heard, please see myself. Please see one of the other adults in this room. We'd be happy to talk with you. I was in your shoes at one time too. I needed a Savior and he saved me. Let's close in prayer. Lord Jesus, we just thank thee that tonight, if there's one in this room who hears you knocking at their heart's door, one who hasn't yet said, yes, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, one who has not said yet, please wash away my sins, we pray that tonight there would be those in this room who would say, who would ask you to be their Savior, who would repent and put their faith and trust in you. We give thanks in your worthy and precious name. Amen. Again, we love you. Thank you for coming.